Good morning, ladies of No BS. Happy December 16th. What? Countdown. What is it? 9 days until the big day and holidays. It's probably lots of events and things going on in your life. Lots of busyness, busy time of year. So I am Coach Lizzie. I'm so happy to get a chance to be here with you for our kind of our, you know, coffee with coaches. We're just hanging out. I've already had my coffee, so I've got my water. Do you have your water yet? Are you drinking your water? Easy way to get into some water. Easy first thing in the day is to have a glass of water, like first thing before you even wake up. Before you even wake up. First thing after you wake up. That's funny. I was just looking to see if Coach Lisa is here. If when she gets a chance, she'll probably type into the chat and say hello, and I'll bring her up. So today what we're talking about is an interesting topic that came up in a conversation with some other clients earlier this week. And it was really interesting about kind of the idea of like, what's this whole weight loss journey all about? Because like sometimes we just put so much like mental emphasis and emotion into weight loss. Like I can just, everything will be so much better when I lose weight. I'll feel confident. I'll feel like a better mom. I'll feel like a better employee. I can go for that job. And it's like we put almost our entire worthiness in that number, in the scale. And it's like, if I could just lose that final 10 pounds, I'll finally feel enough. And, you know, on the surface, you know, in our prefrontal cortex, we're like, I know that my weight does not equal my worthiness and so forth. But it's sort of like, you know, a little bit lower down, we're like, but it really would help. And I'm not gonna lie, like it, weight loss absolutely is correlated. Like there is some, it's easier sometimes to feel confidence as we're losing weight, but it's not the whole game. Oh, Terry, thank you so much. Yes. Oh, my sound went off. Is it still there? Tell me if you guys can hear me.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Your sound is back on. I was also going live. We were live simultaneously, but different. Okay. So I ended my live and I came and joined yours.
Well, thank you for joining me. Yes. Welcome. Yeah, so glad that the sound is back. That's a funny thing. We have a speaker in the other room that connects to our phones. And so I think that my husband like connected the Wi-Fi and yeah, fun things. So Lisa, I was just riffing a little bit about how, kind of what's this all about, our weight loss journey, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's kind of, we spend so much mental and emotional effort into the scale. And like, I'm just gonna feel more confident when I lose weight. I'm gonna feel more, you know, comfortable in my skin and my clothes, and I can do all the things. And yet, when you look at the big picture, like at the end of the day, you know, on our deathbed, our kids, our partner, our grandchildren, they will not care how much we weighed. Mm-mm. They will care how we showed up, how we lived our life, how we loved, how we laughed. What's the other one? Live, laugh, love. Yeah, that was trite. Sorry. But yeah. And so like, we were talking today about like what kind of like really matters. And I have a couple of analogies and some stories to share. But like, before I jump into that, do you have anything you want to add?
Actually, last week, when I was talking with Kathy, I think the same sort of thing came up, where I was saying, when my children were younger, my daughter was around 8 or so, something like that. I think I lost weight on some program or something, but I lost some weight. She got quite upset with me. She was very upset with me because she said, "Mom, you're not as squishy as you were." And I mean, you know, it was so sweet, but it's like just paying attention to, like you say, what do they actually care about? They don't care how much you weigh. They just care that you're you and that you provide them what they think they're getting. And for her, it was like, wait a minute, your hugs aren't as squishy.
Yeah. So. That's really interesting too. Like that makes me think of when I was a kid and my mom is always and continues to have body image issues and so forth. Mm-hmm. And she's reluctant to hug and to uh-huh. be physical, and because she's embarrassed about her size and so forth. And I'm like, I don't care, Mom. Yes. I just want a hug, you know?
Yes. Yeah. We just want that connection, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this came about because I was having a conversation with some other clients, and one client, shout out to Jean, She was saying she's had some stuff going on in her life, and she was like, it really made me appreciate like what matters. And so like at Thanksgiving, she was all about like, does it, you know, the decorations okay and all this and that. And then some stuff came up that like put everything in perspective. And she was like, it doesn't matter. I can show up with no makeup, unshowered and so forth. All my family cares about is me. And they definitely do not care about my jean size. And a different client was saying, this shout out to Julie, was saying she was, you know, her mother passed last year. And, you know, in dealing with all of that stuff with, you know, a parent's passing, that she was just appreciating life. And again, like she was saying, like, my grandkids do not care how much I weigh. They care about how I show up. They care about, you know, the relationships and so forth. And she was, and this Julie was saying, like, I am no longer the person who's trying to lose weight. I am the person who is living my life. And yes, I am working on, you know, healthier habits, but that's not the main goal anymore. It's because the pant size isn't what my life is about. What are your thoughts on that, Lisa?
Oh, yeah. It's like I say, yeah. It's really what our life is about. It's what our goal life is. It's about just being authentically us. And I think some of us hold back from that and don't give ourselves permission to do it because we have these goals out there, these goals to lose weight. We think somehow that's the version of us that's entitled to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also why some people struggle to stay there. And that's one of the big keys that's part of No BS, which is what I love so much, is we're not just trying to get you there, we're trying to keep you there. And we're working towards helping you create this life that you love.
Yeah. Say more about that, about like, it's not just about losing the weight, but it's also about helping you stay there. Like,
it's just about keeping your, like, creating this life that you want to live. And we're not just trying to get to some finish line. This isn't a marathon we're trying to run or a race that we're trying to run. Mm-hmm. It's your life in general. It's the whole thing of how we live our lives day to day. And that's why the little changes that people are making are what stick. Mm-hmm. It's like we make the little changes and then that becomes part of your life and part of how you live day to day. And that'll create the weight loss too.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What'd you say?
I said, what do you think about that? Have you?
Absolutely. It's interesting on the weight loss, the Corinne's weight loss call yesterday, some people were running into the Q&A about like, I feel like, you know, my weight loss isn't fast enough. And I my brain is telling me I have to do something drastic, like count calories, like cut out carbs, exercise a bunch more. And, you know, in my response to them, I was like, well, first of all, like, tell yourself the truth. When that worked in the past, it didn't actually work. Like, you're only telling yourself half of the story, that like, when I went low carb or keto or whatever, I lost weight. And like, no, that's like half of the story, that you stopped at intermission. Like, the full story is, and then you gained it back. And that's why you're here at No BS. Yeah. And so step one is be careful of the story you're telling yourself about that old diet, that thing that quote unquote worked, because no, it did not work. You lost weight and you gained it back. That is the full complete story. And also, like, I feel like the beauty of No BS, like, yes, we talk about the four basics and the do this and the stop it enough and so forth, but really the beauty of No BS is that it's helping you go from where we used to be, where like the diet is telling me what to mm-hmm. do, or I'm rebelling against the diet, but even then I'm like, the diet is still the one in charge. We're going from that to like, you are the one in charge. Mm-hmm. You get to make your choices. And so if you want to have cake for dinner, great, like your reasons. If you don't like your reasons, let's do a discovery worksheet, let's talk through that, but you get to be the one in charge. And so the second thing I said in the Q&A was also like, you want to be able to lose weight in a way that you can keep it and that you can maintain the weight loss, because maintaining the weight loss, the actions it takes to maintain the weight loss are very, very similar to the actions it takes to lose the weight. So you want to do it in a way that you can keep doing for 5, 10, 30 years.
Yes.
And so forth. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I think sometimes there's some subtlety to that as well. Like, I definitely think there can be more deep dive opportunities as we're losing weight to kind of like explore what's going on here, what's this about. That's not something we necessarily are going to do forever, but it's kind of like an ebb and flow of how much work you do about this. Does that make sense to everybody? Like, it's sometimes we will be examining things a little more, and then sometimes we're going to be coasting a little bit, and that's what the whole thing is going to be about.
Yeah. And kind of going back to the idea of like weight loss is, it's kind of like a car. Like, it's like a vehicle. Like, if you're taking a road trip, mm-hmm. Your road trip would be fine if you're driving in a Camaro. Your road trip would also be fine if you're driving in a Ford Pinto. Like, the road trip is not about the car. And like, we make weight loss about, like, weight loss is like making the road trip about the car. And like, it's gotta be the perfect car for the road trip. And we're like, no, you can get where you're going. You can enjoy like the sunsets and the weird diners that you pass along the way in whatever kind of car you're driving. And so weight loss is a pathway towards just loving your life. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Yeah. You can do it today. Yeah.
And in a way, I almost think you are the car.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you are the car. And so if you want to work on the car, go ahead and work on the car. We want to take care of that car. We want to pay attention to what fuel we're putting in that car. We want to pay attention to, you know, how often we do oil changes. Like, we got to take care of this vehicle that takes us through life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is a gift. It is magical. It is important. But does it, like, it's still going to get us there no matter what, and that it's going to keep us going on this journey no matter what. So, like, let's also enjoy the whole journey. Let's also enjoy everything, but take care of your car.
Yeah. And what's funny is a lot of times our self-talk, our head trash, can get in the way. Mm-hmm. And I remember so vividly the first time I had this thought, because I was in a, like, a year long, like, deep dive into myself of like body image, because I was so frustrated with like diet and exercise are not making me happy. And it did not matter what I saw in the mirror. I was like, it's not enough. I haven't arrived at the after picture. And I was like, where do I get there? And I had this moment where I was like, if diet and exercise are not the key to like making me feel happy in my body, it's gotta be something else. Yeah. Maybe it's in my head. And so a couple of months later, like into my year-long deep dive, I remember kind of getting frustrated with myself. I was like, what is this even all about? Like, why am I so fixated on my body and how I look? And my answer was like, well, I mean, I want to look good for my husband and I want to look good and stuff. And so like literally like a conversation back and forth in my head. And the answer in my head was, okay, let's see. I can look a certain way to my husband and he sees me, or even the stranger at Starbucks sees me, and I can walk through my whole day thinking, oh my god, I feel fat in these jeans, I can't believe they look like, you know, I shouldn't have had that to eat last night, and this is never gonna work, you know, all the mental trash. I can walk around with that in my head. My husband, the person in the Starbucks, sees me. Or I can walk around being like, you know, I ain't perfect, but I get some things right. And, you know, I may not love my butt or my hips or my thighs, but my hair is looking okay today. And I really am a good person. And I really love my friends. And I'm a great friend. And I'm okay. And, you know, I can walk around thinking that. And you know what? My husband, the person at Starbucks, sees the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't see anything different.
No.
Depending on, you know, and so if, like, if my journey is only impacted by what I'm thinking in my head, like, that only impacts me, does not impact what other people see. Like, why not walk around at least putting the deck in your favor? Why not?
Karen commented on our video saying that she fueled herself with crappy fuel this weekend and she's feeling the results. Okay. I mean, that's a great opportunity to do a discovery worksheet, because you're recognizing, hey, I don't feel good after I fuel myself with crappy fuel, right? Like, I don't feel good the next day. So it's, okay, what could I do for myself next time in the moment? Like what prompted me to do that over the weekend? I was obviously not thinking about the next day me, who was gonna feel like crap, or I might not have treated myself that way, right? And I think that's a big part of what we eat as well, is how to feed ourselves, not just in the moment self, right? Paying attention to tomorrow, you is got to experience life. If you make her all bloated and gassy, I don't know, then you're not really hooking yourself up very well, are you? But sometimes we don't think about that because we're in the moment and we've got this voice in our head that says, oh, that looks good. Or remember when you were a kid and you ate that kind of thing and it tasted so great. Okay, well, now you want to recognize those things because you want to treat this car with respect and love.
Yeah. And, you know, in that example mm-hmm. of like, I fueled myself with crappy food. So in the moment, I'm guessing we all have those in the moment. I just want the chocolate. I just want the Danish, the whatever. And that is a different part of you, your emotions, your heart.
Yes.
You know, you're more than just this physical body, your emotional body is asking for a need, is asking to be fueled. And so we can fuel this physical body with the food and the water. Everybody take a drink. But we also need to fuel our emotional body, our emotional needs. I mean, that's part of what is coming. It's going to be so amazing about this upcoming OBS and the revamp that's coming in January, is that we're talking about like your basic needs as a human include, of course, sleep and water and food, but also like nurturing your emotions, nurturing your heart and your rest Right. And so I can't remember the name of the person who mentioned that, but to that person, like, okay, the food itself may not have fueled your body, but like, what was your emotions? What was your mental heart basically asking for in that moment? You know, a little bit of nurturing.
Yeah, it sounds like Karen had said it was a girls' night. They were ordering room service, drinking the drinks, and I deserve a fun weekend turned on, and I'm just enjoying holiday food and having fun. And that makes sense, right? If that's the way we've looked at things in the past, that the fun comes from eating all the foods and the fun comes from having all the drinks. And it's noticing, is that the only thing that it comes from? What if it also can come from really being present in the moment with the people? And like you say, addressing what else do I need? My body's craving, desiring that joy or that pleasure or that fun from the experience. You just want to remind it that it doesn't have to come from what you put in your mouth. It can come from the inside out as opposed to the outside in.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good example. You know, like it's holiday time. We've got lots of events, parties, et cetera, coming up. And a lot of times we go into it when we're stuck in diet mentality of like, either, oh God, I don't want to blow it. Or the opposite of like, woohoo, it's time to party. Let it all rip. And what if we could just like pitch the diet mindset and be like, what will I want to remember about this party a year from now? It's probably not going to be the martini. It's probably not going to be the fancy cookies with the Hershey Kisses in it or whatever they are. Yeah. It's going to be the people you were with.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we can like zoom out and be like, what do I want to remember about this event? Whether it's a party, whether it's the holiday itself, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever. Like, what do I want to remember about this a year from now? What's really important to me?
And I'd even offer a month from now.
Yeah.
Like, I think for some people, they're like, I don't know. You know what? A year from now, you, let's be honest, is probably not going to remember anything about it. In all honesty, you may remember that you had a lot of events this December, but like, I can't tell you who I saw and what I ate last December. You just can't. But a month from now, you still might remember some of it. And that's where you want to really focus on what you do want to remember from it. So that would be an interesting challenge to anybody who thinks it's like so worth it or who's had those thoughts. What did you do last December? Who did you see? What did you eat? What do you truly remember about it?
Yeah. And I will say sometimes there are special food traditions that are mingled in with that emotion of the relationships. Like, for example, in our family, we have a tradition with there's four of us where each person gets to pick a movie, a holiday treat, and a family activity that we do sometime during the month of December. And so my husband always asks for the same thing. And but so like the cookies that he asks for are their cookies, but like they come with this emotional memory of the things that we do together during this time of year. Yeah. And when I make those cookies, because they're awesome, I like my reasons. I have those cookies and I like my reasons. I do not guilt myself over them. Yeah. I guilt myself over like the stupid cheese and crackers that really was not memorable, you know, things like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Now I'm playing our video. I don't mean to do that. There we go. Sorry. Trying to send somebody the link. So I agree with you. I've lost track of my thought now. So
it simply was making the point that like sometimes there are food things that that you do want to remember because it's sort of wrapped up in the emotion of the relationship. But still, it's a great kind of litmus test to ask yourself, like, what am I going to remember a month from now?
Yeah.
If I'm going to this party, am I going to remember the little pigs in blanket appetizer?
Yeah,
probably not. But like, if I make cookies with my granddaughter, like that is something I'm going to remember. That is something where I want to choose and like my reasons for.
I think the other part to that is quantity.
Uh-huh. Like, amen.
We make nuts and bolts. I think in the States people call it like puppy chow or something. I don't know. It's like a bunch of cereal mixed with a whole ton of butter and seasonings. And I am not a fan, but I make it every year. And I have for 30 years now, I made it every year because it was my husband's family tradition. But it comes down to how much. Yes, they're going to remember if it was present mm-hmm. each year. But are they going to remember if they ate four jars of it or they ate one?
Right.
It's the quantity of what you have doesn't create a stronger memory. It's that you did it. It's that you maybe had it. So those cookies or whatever you could have, there's a difference between having one and having 17. Or even Karen mentioned that the cookie was huge or something like that. So like bigger than the size of her head. Again, having a bite of that, no matter what the size it started as, you having a bite or two is what you're going to remember, as opposed to making yourself feel sick because you ate this enormous thing that mm-hmm. wasn't compatible with what your body needed, right? Wasn't the right amount of fuel.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, I wanted to comment on something that Sarah just wrote in the chat, mm-hmm. who's pretty new. Welcome. She was talking about like struggling sometimes to eat less. And I feel you for sure, especially like those cookies. Like I could pound 17 of them, just like Lisa said. But one thing I think about is, so there's actually two strategies I use in that regard. So before I make the cookies, and for you, it could be, you know, fill in the blank food. I think about tomorrow, like how many would feel great and like super satisfying. Like I enjoyed that food.
Yeah.
And here's the important part. How many tomorrow would I be like, ooh, that was too many. I regret that last one. And for me, for cookies, like the boundary is usually like between 3 and 4. Four is pushing it. But like, I know if I got to 5, that was definitely too many. So like, then I've thought ahead. So like when I'm in the moment, if I'm on like, wait, which number is this? Ooh, this is 3. I know that 4 is probably pushing my limit. That helps me like remember that I've already thought about how much would I regret tomorrow. So that's one strategy. The second strategy, Sarah, is I try and quantify like the amount of feel good I would get in this moment from one more cookie compared to the amount of regret I would get tomorrow from one more cookie. And like, it's sort of like a seesaw, like the feel good in the moment of another cookie is like, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Whereas the amount of regret tomorrow is like, ouch. And so if I just can take a second to like, and sometimes I have written the word quantify on my palm and be like, oh yeah, to help me remember in the moment, like this one more thing tonight is not going to make that much of a difference. Whereas tomorrow I'm not going to feel great about it.
Yeah. The other thing I always try to do and recommend to people is to slow down. Like, don't just dive into it, because otherwise you'll finish the first two cookies without even thinking about it and without even thinking of that you're going to quantify it. And so slowing yourself down at the beginning can be really helpful to the just be super present with whatever you are going to eat. Again, honor and enjoy that this is something special to you instead of just like gobbling it down like the Cookie Monster, you know, like a picture of the crumbs falling.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? Like treat it the way you're talking about it. If we talk about it like, oh, these are so good. Okay, then treat them that way. Slow down. Savor each bite.
Right. And that goes back to kind of letting go of the diet mentality, because the diet mentality tells us like, this is bad, or I'm being bad, or whatever. And we want to like secretly eat it and be like, quick. Yeah. You know, like, stop that. Like, let go of the old diet mentality. Like, you get to choose whatever you want, and you get to like your reasons. And that kind of mindset of like, I can choose what I want and I like my reasons, really helps you slow down and be like, if I'm making cookies with my granddaughter, I can have some, and I like my reasons, and I can enjoy them.
Yeah. I love that. So good. Good stuff. Do we have any other questions that we've missed here? I don't think so. Joyce mentioned, when my brain tells me I don't want to stop eating this because it tastes so good, I remind myself why I really do want to stop eating. And it does take slowing down, 100%. Mm-hmm. If we want to be able to hear both sides of the story, we've got to be open to it coming up. If we eat really fast to not hear the other side of the story, then we'll miss it. And then we'll have regrets, likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just wrapping us up, I'm going to take us like zoom us way out and then bring us kind of back into to the near future. So we started with like really big picture on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Your spouse, your grandkids, your children, your friends do not care how much you weigh. Mm-hmm. And so what they do care about is you and the relationships that you had. So if we're going to zoom back down into a month from now, that would be January 16th. So the holidays will have been over, but you're reflecting back on the holidays, the time, the food, and so forth. And so knowing that your gene size does not impact your relationships unless you let it, but
yes,
you don't want to let it. So a month from now, what do you want to be remembering about the couple of weeks coming up? Do you want to be remembering the food you ate? Maybe. And so hopefully you like your reasons. But where, how do you want to be present with the people in your life, with the relationships with the other? Who do you want to reach out to and be like, you know what? I haven't talked to so-and-so in a long time. I want to see how they're doing. So any last thoughts, Lisa?
No, I think you nailed it. Again, on your deathbed, nobody's remembering whether you had 3 cookies or 17 cookies, and nobody cares. Yeah. They just care that you were present in each moment and that you enjoyed your time with them and you had those connections. So,
yeah,
I think that's great. I hope everybody has a fabulous week, and don't forget to come to Ask Coaches anytime you have a question, anytime you just want to spitball a thought, like just get it out there. What's going on? You don't have to know exactly what you're asking either when you come to see us there, right? Just come ask away, or just share what's going on, and we'll give you some direction.
Absolutely. And we are always here for you, and on holidays as well. Christmas Day, we'll be checking Facebook and so forth. We'll be there looking at Ask Coaches. So if you need us, we're here for you.
All right.
Thank you, Lisa.
See you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.